And here it comes. You knew that was coming.
And there it is.
Thorpe, yep. Never missing his cue. Nope. Oh, my goodness. Hey, everybody. It is Monday. I am Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Sort of the official end of the hiatus that we mm-hmm. took, doing what we can on this podcast to make today make sense. Huh.
I'm Molly Wood. We are officially back from break. It's funny because there were some notes from people who were like, I'm glad you took a break. You know, it was getting kind of dire. There were like a lot of feelings at the end of the year. Last time was like, oh, I don't know what to do. And here we are. I can't say that feelings are different. We're going to do what we can. Yeah. Thank you to those of us who joined us on Friday, by the way, for Economics on Tap, our little we came off fun. Hiatus. It was just, it was crowd, lovely actually. To see everybody on the YouTube. Yeah. And we're back.
There were a lot of people.
Just in time.
Just in time. You guys know the way this works. If you're new, first of all, welcome. If you're not, let's say it out loud for all the kids in class. It's 15 minutes. We do a little news. We do a little, here's what sort of lightened the moment, and then we move on briskly out of the way.
Briskly.
That's what we do.
We do not
briskly
waste your time, friends. And if you appreciate us for nothing else, appreciate that.
That's right. Okay. So I see some overlap in our items, which surprises me not at all. Why don't you start and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like we are both going to start with a little bit of the aftermath, if you will, the ongoing evolution of what is happening with respect to insurrection. Anyway, the latest news is I don't even know how to put it. Civil war? Has it started? Is that where we are? An FBI memo issued today, Monday, January 11th, is now warning law enforcement of potential demonstrations, armed demonstrations, at every state capital. At 50 state capitals, the FBI also says an armed group has threatened to travel to Washington and stage an uprising if Congress removes Trump from office. So if anybody was under the illusion that any of this was over, or even that, you know, deplatforming was just going to stop it cold in its tracks, that is most certainly not the case.
Yeah, I think, you know, we all, well, let me not speak for the entire planet. I certainly breathed a sigh of relief on Wednesday night after democracy resumed its normal function, but it is such a mistake to think that we are through this, because we are not. And as one example, I will just point out, and here's my sort of half news item. A lot of people by, around, and retired from the United States military were involved in that insurrection. And that, to me, first of all, it's just disappointing, but it's also relevant because it is all aspects of this society, right? There's a woman PSYOP soldier who's resigned her commission out of Fort Bragg. There's that Air Force colonel, the one who was turned in by his ex-wife after she saw a picture of him inside the Senate. Yeah. And I just, you know, it is everybody. It's state legislators, some of whom have resigned. It has CEOs. There's a guy in Michigan who got fired from his company. I mean, it is everybody who has been taken in by this. And I think we should not be surprised when the circle widens, as it inevitably will, as we discover more and more about this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it has been an alternate reality. And there are a lot of people involved in that alternate reality. There was quite an interesting thread over the weekend about, you know, that cross section of Americans and plenty of people on Black Twitter saying, I don't know why you're surprised by this. Like the myth of the respectable whites has always been just that there is always somebody who is willing to, you know, pile on to racial grievance or be part of an event like this. And in no way has like the spell it's so, and it's funny because I think part two of our shared news fix here is that while the spell is not dissipating for people who believe that the election was stolen and that they need to protest that violently or otherwise, there are lots of places where the spell is breaking. And one of those places is corporate America, which has kind of said, maybe we should not give money pro forma like we have been to this and that PAC and this and that, you know, politician, regardless of, because it's good to hedge our bets with some Republicans and some Democrats too, and maybe the occasional Libertarian. And now they're like, yeah, I don't think so.
Well, so what's your, I had two thoughts actually, when this news that started late last week started to come out about companies rethinking their contributions. Number one is what you and I said, excuse me, early on in this administration was that corporate America was being something of a check on Donald Trump and his presidency in the absence of institutional Republicans, specifically in the Senate, and at that point in the House as well, right, under Paul Ryan's speakership, doing anything about it. And I think that is, I mean, props to us for pointing this out. But here we are now on the back end of this thing. And what you see from some companies, and I'm thinking now specifically of the big banks, right, JP Morgan, Citigroup, they are suspending political contributions to both sides. That's like when your brother does something and you both get in trouble and get sent to your room and you're like, but I didn't do anything. And I think that's just not necessarily thinking things through here.
Yeah, I find that very odd to just sort of say, like, on the one hand, we have a situation in this country where, yes, it's unfolding that companies have dished out arguably more accountability than Congress. And law enforcement is catching up, but still not particularly quickly. And then, yes, the idea that sort of feeding politics writ large or supporting candidates on any side of the aisle is the problem here is pretty it's trying to have it both ways, because we have to have the conversation. We like, I will tell you that there was a rant in Marketplace Tech last week where I basically was like, hey everyone, enough. Like, we need to stop the gaslighting around disinformation and the idea that what happens on the internet doesn't have consequences. But also, we need to stop the gaslighting about the fact that the alternate reality that Republicans have a QAnon problem, right? That, as we said on this show, 140 members of the House, the majority of the House and two U.S. senators still voted to overturn an election immediately after this riot. Hydra is still in S.H.I.E.L.D., out in the open. Nerds are going to get this one.
Sorry.
Like, saying that, like, oh, it's politics, it's our politics, it's our, you know, divisive politics, is like not intellectually honest. It's just not.
Yeah.
Like, there has been exactly an equal and opposite reaction to division, like, unquestionably, right? Like, but I don't see any of the people who are talking about peace and unity and blaming Biden saying, you know what would really cause some peace and unity is if Donald Trump would just resign. I don't see that, frankly, is as close as we could get. And I don't see that happening. It's just, it's not intellectually honest. And until we in the media and everybody else can be honest about what is happening, like, we're not getting anywhere, because we're still allowing reality to dominate what we say.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to get anywhere as long as Republican politicians who voted to overturn the election, and I'm speaking now specifically of the, as we all know, 121 in the House and 6 or 7 in the Senate, whatever it is, as long as they're allowed to go on television or wherever and say things that are just nonsense, right? I mean, that's just cray-cray. And, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah. I don't either, but it is. Yeah. I mean, I think undoubtedly you are seeing corporations now internally go inside, stop everything down, and then make the decision about who they think it's okay to support. And that is going to say a lot about what happens to our politics going forward. That's a kind of a weird and bad situation that, you know, corporations and big money will determine it to that extent. But I think that's something we've also been trying to get more honest about. So we'll see where they land.
And we'll talk about it tomorrow. Because tomorrow we're doing disinformation. Sneak peek. Yeah, a little spoiler alert for our thing tomorrow. There's a promo coming up in about 3 minutes in this podcast where we tell you what we're doing tomorrow. Nina Jankowicz is who we're having back on the pod tomorrow.
She's
we're going to talk about disinformation and really hash it out, because, oh my God. Anyway, Charlton, do that thing you do.
Smile time.
There you go. All right, what do you got?
I mean, look, I'm not 100% proud of how much I enjoyed this. But when frustration occurred, rage was building, there was a pervasive sense that we as a society were not going to deal with the problems right in front of our face, then what I did was I went to Twitter and I typed in hashtag no fly list. And there's only like about 4 or 5 actual videos of this happening where people discover after having flown to DC and participated in this riot in a way that caused them to be worthy of arrest, or that caused problems on flights on the way out or back or whatever, that it turns out they're not going to be allowed to fly now. They're on the no-fly list and they've been pulled off of airplanes and arrested just as they landed. And they're just so shocked by this.
That goes to the whole, I don't understand what people are thinking, taking videos and selfies and all of this stuff of themselves committing federal crimes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand doing that. What? How did you think this was not going to happen? Right?
Just making arrested, it content.
You get booted off a plane. What are you just making content? That's right. That's right.
Just making content. And I mean, it is satisfying, but I will say, like, the darkest one out there is the one where they're you know, you've got 3 cops pinning down a guy in an airport, and you know what he says? You're treating me like an effing black person.
No way. Really?
In case you wonder why they thought they were going get away with this, that's why.
He said the quiet part out loud.
Holy he said cow. The quiet part out loud. They expected, as Bishop Talbert Swan put it on Twitter, they expected their whiteness to protect them from consequences.
Wow.
Fully did.
Holy cow.
Yep. Yeah. So it's Schadenfreude. It's not attractive. It's not my best quality to enjoy these videos, but I have. I'm sorry, but I have.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. So here's mine. Let me set the scene. It's Fox News Today. Bill Hemmer, the anchor, speaking with Hogan Gidley, spokesperson for the President of the United States. Here we go.
If the social media crackdown, does he feel emasculated, especially as he heads out of office?
Look, I wouldn't say emasculated. I mean, if the most masculine person, I think, to ever hold the White House is the President of the United States.
I mean, what?
I'm just leave that there. I'm just going to leave that there. Yeah, that's it. I just, so 2 things. One is, come on, hashtag Fox values. News, you're asking that question seriously. And 2, imagine having a job where you had to go on television and say that about your boss.
I mean, come on.
And yep. Look, I understand that this is a little bit piling on right now, but holy cow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously, though. I know. I just, okay.
I know.
All right.
I know.
Hashtag values. Okay.
There you go.
That is it for us today. Tomorrow, we are going to talk more about how disinformation contributed to the insurrection at the Capitol, because it cannot be said enough that this is a disinformation story top to bottom. And Nina Jankowicz, who has been on before, is going to help us try to unpack just how this, you know, long, 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 half a decade old propaganda campaign started and how it was always kind of inevitable that it was an end here. In the meantime, send us your questions, your comments, makemesmart@marketplace.org. Let us know if there's things you'd like to ask tomorrow, like us to ask. And, you know, we love the voicemail.
Yep. 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 All right. Monday at the end of a very long week is in the books. Long 10 days it's going to be, I think.
Oh, guys, it's just going to be Just stay with us. We're here for you, friends. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Erica Phillips writes our newsletter and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart device.
Charlton Thorpe was in the driver's seat in the studios down in L.A. Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. Donna Tam is the senior producer of this podcast. The executive director of On Demand is Tar Nieves. Until the music's out.
I love all the pictures who are like, guess who's not on the no-fly list? And then it's a picture of Colin Kaepernick. He's not on the no-fly list. He just took a knee. So good.
There we go.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.